baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Well, it is time for my favorite show we do all week, buddy. It is the show where you, the listener, do all of the show prep and work for us.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday afternoon mailbag, or I guess a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon.
There we go.
The way that it goes.
Here
I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. Welcome to the walk-off, everybody. Of course, every single week we comb through the comments, our DMs, and our Discord for all of your questions and comments and thoughts on the week. And we've got a pretty hefty mailbag for you, so we won't wait too long to get into it. Of course, you can get a hold of us by reaching out on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast, and you can join the Discord. It is always free. The link is in the show notes. Let's get into it.
All right, we're going to start today's mailbag with probably the most commented or question posed in the last 12 hours, I would say. And that is relating to the rainout of the Yankees-Guardians game yesterday. So quite a few people messaged us directly or commented and asked about this. But James on Instagram had a specific one we'll get to here. So James says...
And whenever we get doubles like that, whenever we get doubles where people are always... multiple people are talking about it, don't be offended if you're not the comment we grab type of thing, right? We're trying to, we're trying to like encompass as many of these as we can.
Yes. Thank you. So James said, I've been seeing a lot of comments online complaining about the rainout last night and the MLB quote, rigging it for the Yankees. I've only gotten into baseball in the past few years. Can you explain why the MLB would rig it? And how this rain delay benefits the Yankees.
Okay, I love this comment for a few reasons, because online has been going nuts about this rain out on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So the rigging it for the Yankees crowd, as much power as MLB has, and as much as they obviously love big market teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Giants and the Braves being in the postseason, are going as deep into it as they can. Newsflash, gang, they can't make it rain. They can do a lot of things. They can change all the rules in the game, but they do not have control over the weather. So as for it actually being rigged, I don't know about that. I mean, a lot of the complaints from Yankees and Guardians fans is that day off they had between game one and two, which in a five-game series where they're not on the road, just sitting there in New York waiting to play game two. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't understand it. I understand why they were trying to divide up the games, right? So there were different games running on every day, but just a weird scheduling thing there.
Here's one thing interesting with this rainout last night is I don't think the MLB knows how to control the weather. I do think that they were specifically trying to avoid the optics of it looking like they rigged it for the Yankees. Obviously, the postponement benefits the Yankees, and we'll get into why in just a second here. But there was a lot of Yankees fans, or a lot of fans in that stadium, sitting through the rain expecting a game to get started. They should have called it earlier in the day, looking at the, not earlier in the day, but they just kept kind of like, no, like we're going to try and get this in. We're going to like stick around. Like we're going to come back. I swear.
I mean, boy, did they try and get that game in, eh?
I mean, it sure would have looked bad if they postponed it right away and then the weather cleared up 45 minutes later. That would have been crisis.
Because they dragged that out for like 4 hours. I kept checking my phone. I remember you texting me last night being like, are they actually going to try and get this game in at 10 p.m. Eastern? Yeah. I'm like,
playoffs are scheduled, right? Game's got to happen. But
This is funny, too, in live chat here, Adam. Scott Carter pipes up. He's like, then explain why MLB bought 6 private planes and bought 69 tons of silver iodine. Maybe they are controlling the weather, right?
Very funny one there. Okay, so how does this benefit the Yankees? Going into Game 5, advantage, at least on paper, right? Because the games still need to be played. But on paper, yes. Advantage Guardians, because it was supposed to be, it was looking like, it was shaping up to be a bullpen day for both teams, right? The Guardians' bullpen was more rested, less use. They were in a better shape to play a bullpen game than the Yankees. Now, given the extra day's rest, the Yankees' bullpen obviously benefits from the rest. The difference between 2 days and 3 days rest is a lot different than 1 day and 2 day, etc. And then on top of that, Nestor Cortes, with the extra day off, is going to start today for the Yankees.
Yeah. Instead of Jameson Taillon, who...
That is a big deal.
I mean, just putting it in perspective for everyone, because there are... I'll even read a Yankees tweet here. So it says... I'm a break it down as simply as I can. Yankees don't have an advantage because of this postponement. Guardians don't have an advantage because of this postponement. You know who does? The Houston effing Astros, right? So bitter Yankee fans there. Already kind of counting, putting, as you love to say, the cart before the horse, Adam.
Yes.
And looking ahead here.
Yes.
But it is, if you just break it down in any kind of starting rotation, they're getting to put their pseudo number one in instead of their number four. Of course it's advantage Yankees.
It is advantage. That Yankees fan who said that, not entirely wrong.
No.
Like, the Astros are going to, well,
have a big advantage now.
Big advantage. So that does benefit them. I suppose, okay. Game 2 took place Friday, October 14th. That was Shane Bieber versus Nestor Cortes. Here we are now, what is this, 3 days rest, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. Nestor Cortes going to pitch on 3 days rest. That's short rest.
Short rest, yep.
4 days would be typical rest for a five-pitcher rotation.
First time Cortes has done that this year, by the way.
True. Shane Bieber not expected to start today. Terry Francona said, we will not...
risk
pitch Shane Bieber on short rest. So advantage Yankees. However, if the Guardians can get through this game 5 today, Astros face Shane Bieber in game 1. So
gotta love how that lines up for the Guardians.
All right.
Great question. Great comment from everyone who touched on that. Yeah.
Next comment comes in from Rick. This one made me laugh, actually. So Rick said, who the F even are you guys? I'm a Dodgers fan, and after watching Long Toss on Sunday, great format for a show, by the way, just wish you covered more MLB stuff and less Blue Jays, I deep-dived your channel and went through your interviews section. Again, mostly Blue Jays, it seems, but how the F do you two bums have a one-hour interview with guys like Sean Green, Shea Hillenbrand, and Danny Jansen? And I mean, two bums... in the nicest way possible, by the way, Rick.
I love this comment because, Rick, we ask ourselves this exact same question constantly. Yeah. I love that he brought up, I love that he found the Sean Green interview too as a Dodger mm-hmm. fan. He's like, hey, there's something for me.
Totally. There you go. I will say, I mean, thanks for the kind words about the Long Toss show that we do. Anybody that is new here, just finding the channel, we do a 2-hour roundtable discussion with other content creators. Sunday night, that's live on YouTube for 2 hours. We do that every Sunday. We are slowing down for the off season, so that's going to go to monthly throughout the off season, and then in probably like March, as spring training starts to ramp up, that'll go back to being a weekly thing on Sundays. So as far as covering more MLB stuff, maybe that's something we can look into doing on
Long we probably toss. Will over the off season, because the off season does get thin on news, and we are going to continue to make content. Like Adam said, we are probably, in fact, we've had close to 200 subscribers join us in less than a month, pretty much. So yeah. This is a great opportunity to go over our format and what we do. We are a Blue Jays focused podcast. We're always going to be a Blue Jays focused podcast because Adam and I are giant Blue Jays fans. And we love that we are starting to get more and more people coming in and checking us out from around MLB. And of course, we're going to continue to cover MLB news, but we are going to be a focus on Blue Jays. We do interviews all the time, and it as the offseason ramps up here, we're going to be doing more of them. It is a great time to sit down with ball players and pick their brains. I know that we've got Davis Schneider joining us on Monday next week. Now, Davis is a Toronto Blue Jay farmhand. He's with the Buffalo Bison. He probably had one of the most surprising seasons of 2022. He started in low A as a 24-year-old and has moved all the way up to triple A and has not faltered at all. So it's going to be cool to talk to him. We're talking to TJ Brock just today after the show here. We're going to sit down with TJ Brock. He was a Vancouver Canadian, throws 100 miles an hour. He is a guy who truly we could see in the bullpen of this Blue Jays organization within a year or two. So yeah, we talked to a lot of the minor league guys and any big leaguers who will answer us. Of course, we get on the show as well. A big tip of the hat to Danny Jansen, who took the time in April to talk to us. All right. Enough honking our own horn here.
No. Good preview of some of the guests we've got coming up. So very good. Rick, thanks for the comment. Coincidentally, Two Bums, the original name for our podcast, but we went with the walk-off
That's
instead.
Right.
So next one, Becky Peterson commented on our most recent long toss as well. She said, these roundtables are my favorite podcast, hands down. I turn it on, then work in the kitchen or sewing room. So very cool. She says, I agree with the guy who said he was cheering for anyone but LA or Yankees. I'm right there with them, and I don't care that it isn't supposedly good for the MLB. They need to realize that not everyone lives in LA or New York, and we get tired of feeling ignored.
What is funny about a lot of this rhetoric we're hearing lately, too, is it's not like Philadelphia and San Diego are small markets, right? Like, these are like major U.S. markets with big-time television revenue, and just because it's not the Dodgers and the Mets, you know, they've got big fan bases. Of course, they're upset, you know, questioning the playoff format. I don't know. I think baseball's fine. I think it's healthy. I think that all of these other organizations getting a sniff is good for baseball.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing the like out-of-market viewership numbers from one World Series to the next. Like if it's the Dodgers and Yankees, obviously LA and New York are tuning in, right? But how much are markets like Cincinnati and Seattle tuning in to that World Series versus times when not just Seattle or Cincinnati is in the playoffs, but if it's the Royals versus the Orioles, does that kind of excite all the other markets that are small teams that are like, hey, it's someone other than the Yankees and Dodgers or the Astros and the Mets, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it'd be interesting.
It would be interesting. I know Scott Carter pipes up here in the live chat. He says Padres are huge in Mexico. And of course, that makes sense, right? I just wanted to bring this up because this is a funny little meme that was posted in our Discord. Of course, that's always free to join, and the link is in the show notes. But I don't know if this is probably a terrible way to do it. But basically, it says Padres, Guardians, World Series games going to be scheduled at 6:45 a.m. on ESPN 12.
Pretty much. Dodgeball gets better coverage. All right, next question comes in from Jenna, who says, I saw Terry Francona had said he would not pitch Shane Bieber on short rest and jeopardize the kid's future. Just wondering your thoughts on how the Blue Jays would have or should have handled Alek Manoah if we had the good graces to be put in this spot as well. Thanks.
Great, great question, Jenna. That is a real head scratcher because there's so many variables that go into these sort of decisions, and it is so much dude to dude. I mean, if baseball had a map for how to keep arms healthy, Tommy John surgery would not be a mega problem within the industry. You know, like there is a lot of science that goes into arm health, and it really is, when it comes to baseball, it's still a real roll of the dice, because humans are not supposed to throw over 100 miles an hour, and they're not supposed to do it at, you know, 100 pitches in a row. Like, there's so many things about throwing a baseball with velo that goes against what the human body is supposed to be able to do. So you're almost going upstream when you're a pitcher anyways. And Alec Manoah is such a big dude that maybe they would go on short rest with him. They probably are going to talk to him, obviously, about how his body's feeling, where he's sore, if he can feel that he can go, right? Shane Bieber may very well, I mean, all the guys right now are super injured. Like, and I mean that. Like, they're all limping through the playoffs. They're running on adrenaline right now, almost every single guy, right? So they're being pushed to their limits. And maybe Francona, he's an old dog, right? He's been around. He's seen it all. Maybe he sat and talked with Shane Bieber and was like, listen, we're risking it just to put him out there on regular rest. But I think there's even a little more that goes into this with Shane Bieber. And obviously, we already talked about putting the cart before the horse. But Shane Bieber does line up for Game 1, Game 4, and Game 7 of the ALCS if they manage to get past this New York team. I mean, if you can send your ace out three times in a series, buddy, and that could be all this is. Maybe he looks at it and he's like, you know what? Savelli's going to give us a good enough chance. We're going to go mostly bullpen anyways. We got the extra day of rest there. We've got a strong bullpen. Will he go out and will we see Emmanuel Clase get seven outs again? Like, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, that's a great point about having confidence in your bullpen, trusting in Savelli. I don't know. They're, again, cart before the horse, counting our unhatched chickens, but yes. Real advantage to pitching Shane Bieber three times against the Astros, potentially.
And I think that is when we see Shane Bieber pitched on short rest. If there's ever a time, it'll be in the championship series, because let's face it, you're right there, right? Yeah. You're right there.
Yeah. You don't often get that close. So.
Lots of guys never do.
Most guys never do. Great question, Jenna. All right. Next one comes in from our Discord. Mustard Tiger, which username always makes me laugh.
Yes.
Love seeing Seattle lose. Also, if you win the division and get swept in the divisional series, does that feel better than getting swept in the wild card? I feel like the measurement is on success regardless of rounds. If you do nothing in the postseason, it doesn't really matter what round you start in.
So as a Blue Jays fan in 2022, I can't tell you if it hurts more to be swept in the division series than the wild card series, but I can tell you it sure hurts to be swept in the wild card series. I love this Blue Jays sentiment too, because I felt the same way. I was like, oh, the Mariners are out. Thank God. But now this is the difference between Jays fans with the Mariners and Jays fans with anyone in the AL East, because my dislike of the Mariners right now is gone. 3 days after they've been eliminated, it is gone. I have no ill will towards them. I wish them the best next season. And I won't cheer against them until they line up against the Blue Jays. Now, if this was the Baltimore Orioles or the Tampa Bay Rays or, God forbid, the New York Yankees, obviously, or the Red Sox, I would not forgive them. I would not set my dislike aside. You know, like it's deep rooted. Whereas teams from the AL West, if they beat you once, you know, you cheer against them for the next series and then you put it to bed.
Yeah. I want to specifically look at, like, what's the more disappointing outcome for your season? Blue Jays swept in the wild card series. Mets. Were they swept?
No, but they...
But they wild card series, right? Yeah. Dodgers divisional series, not swept, but out early.
Yeah.
I don't know if swept in a short series means much. You know what I mean? Like just to lose two games. I mean, technically it's a sweep, but it's not really. You know, if the Astros sweep the Yankees in four, that's a catastrophe for the Yankees, right? For anybody. You lose four game series when you're that close. I think that's a real significant sweep. Should Blue Jays fans be more frustrated or more disappointed with the first round exit as opposed to the Dodgers exiting in the second round?
I bet Dodgers, the disappointment amongst the fan base is the same.
It's got to be. It's got to be the same.
Right? Especially these division series where they had the bye and it's still their first round in the playoffs, you know? So it's the fans' first taste.
Further, but technically it's a first round exit for all intents and purposes.
And maybe part of all of this rhetoric about how frustrating the playoff format is the fact that baseball has grown the game, right? There's newer fans, younger fans that maybe aren't quite as accustomed to the 162 game season. And then when the playoffs come and it's just over, you know, it's a hard pill to swallow. Believe me, I've been watching this stupid game for freaking my entire life. And I,
well, especially if it is like new fans coming over from other sports like basketball or hockey, where it's right? a 7-game series the whole way through. It's like, what do you mean? We only lost 2 games. Why are we done? But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's good. I know most people aren't going to agree with me. I think we could go with longer playoffs. That's just me. I love the tournament of playoffs more than the grind of 162. So, but that's just me. Let me know in the comments your thoughts on the playoff format. All right. Next question. Comes in from Janice Tills on Twitter. Said, "Hey, Scott and Adam, I'm confused. What exactly is Patreon? I always hear you guys talk about it. Can you explain it to me?"
Yes.
We are also confused, Adam. What Patreon is.
Yes. up until we started doing this podcast, I didn't know what Patreon was either. And basically the idea of it is, Scott Carter says it's virtual begging, LOL, which is,
yes.
I mean, it's a harsh way of putting it, but for more or less, that's basically what it is. Basically what Patreon is an ability for you, the listener, if you enjoy the product, to give back a little bit. Our Patreon is $4 a month, so $1 a week. And basically what that allows you to do is get all of our interviews after they are done, unedited, in their full form. That's going to be up for you, okay? For the most part, we don't really believe in putting our product behind a paywall. So this is much more of a you like what we're doing and want to help out type of thing than it is we're going to provide a bunch of extra stuff. We do give stuff away in our Patreon from time to time that's exclusive to the group in Patreon. We're obviously very, very thankful to everyone who has put in, you know, the few shekels our way. We do have the upper tier class of 14 a month, and that gets you the walk-off mug. I know we've had that happen a few times. I know our one buddy, I forget, frick, and he messages with me sometimes too, but I know that he paid the extra rate for his cup. Once he got his cup, then he went back down to the $4 a month. We're working on getting a website up. We're working on getting some merch. We're working on being more user-friendly for everyone out there, having one location for all of our stuff. I know right now we're on, you know, wherever you get your audio side of stuff on podcast, we're on YouTube, you know, a little fractured, but we're working on it, gang.
Hey, remember the original name for this show was Two Bums Talking Blue Jays, okay?
We've come a long way since
we're
Two
Bums.
We're
bumbling our way through this, but we appreciate the support and more importantly, the patience.
Virtual begging.
Along the way.
Scott Carter, all right.
Virtual begging is basically it. As far as benefits, this is a kind of a rolling idea of what kind of content we can offer without, again, feeling like we're putting our content behind a paywall. I know a lot of podcasts that you might find, whether it's a comedy or movies or whatever your subject matter might be, a lot of them will do a full interview and then, you know, put 15 minutes of it out as a free teaser to YouTube or whatever. And then, you know, you got to pay the
Patreon. Get you interested. And then right when it gets to the good part, they cut it out. And they're like, give us money.
Exactly. Oh, you want to hear who this guy really hates in his league? Well, come pay $4 to get that. We don't want to do
that. This sounds very altruistic of us, but also we don't really know how to do that. So
yeah, it is not altruistic. It is merely a lack of ability and no technical know-how. So our ignorance is your bliss. Put that on a t-shirt.
Right?
All right. One benefit, though, is priority comments and questions for mailbag
in
and
mailbag
interviews.
Yes.
So with that in mind, let's go to a Patreon submitted question. This one comes in from Wyatt. It says, just finished watching the Padres beat out the Dodgers, and man, what a great playoff series that was. Watching the last game, I couldn't help but think of two things. Firstly, seeing the Dodgers bullpen implode in the seventh inning of game four, in my mind, says how much the Blue Jays bullpen upgrade should really be priority number one this offseason. Thought number two, watching the series games be as close in scores as they were, the Padres ran out Josh Hader for three saves in 4 days. Do you think Romano would be able to handle that same workload, or do you think we really need to look into a second closer that could help Romano being used 2 days in a row? Love to hear what you guys think. Thanks for the question, Wyatt. Scott, what are your thoughts?
Well, we did this a few days ago where we each picked our go-to free agent we'd like to see acquired by the Blue Jays in this free agent offseason. And Edwin Diaz is at the top of my list. I don't think Romano is the guy to be able to go. I think, by the way, Jordan Romano, one of the top closers in baseball, led the AL in saves, was absolutely nails for this Blue Jays team. But we watched even in that game, too, where he was pushed to his limits there and tried to get six outs, and it just didn't really work out. I don't think it's that he's not that guy, but I think that having a dude with the ilk of an Edwin Diaz goes a long way. Having that proven stud means something. And look at what Josh Hader's doing. He's literally one of the biggest reasons why this Padres team is in the NLCS.
You're not wrong. I would like to, after watching a year of Romano, and I came into the season very high on Romano. I know when we had Jeff Blair on talking with him, he had his concerns, you know, could he pitch, could he go two innings, get you that six out save, right? Can he pitch on short rest? These sorts of questions, right? A lot of these questions for me were, or concerns, I should say, were put to rest this season. Very happy with Romano and his performances. For me, the one real wart on Jordan Romano that I cannot ignore is how he struggles with, or how his performance takes a noticeable dip when he comes in with runners on base.
I was, wow, yeah, 100%. Runners on is his Achilles heel.
We saw it in game two.
He's a different pitcher.
Look, we saw it all year long. We saw it in game two. He came in the eighth inning with runners on. There are closers in this league where you expect them to get three outs in the ninth inning, but you pitch yourself into trouble in the eighth, and you go, all right, we got a runner on first and third and two outs. We need to bring in Diaz right now. We can't wait till the ninth because the ninth might not matter. Jordan Romano for me is not that guy, Scott.
I agree.
Him come in the eighth with runners on base. There are other guys I would want to see ahead of him with runners on. And that is, for me, that is a big, big strike against him. I do not trust him. I would rather see him pitch six out saves if he's coming into the eighth with nobody on. Yeah, come in at the start of the eighth if you're that worried.
I trust 100% of the time. Clean inning Romano, give it to me. But like you said, right, runners in scoring position or even runners on base, and he's a different pitcher. And you know who was the best pitcher on this team for leaving runners on coming into a game with men already on base? Tim Mayza.
And sometimes it doesn't work out.
We watched it happen in game two. I know a lot of people shit all over John Schneider for bringing in Tim Mayza, but you go through the numbers, and Mayza was literally the best on this Blue Jays bullpen at leaving guys inherited runners on base. And it didn't work out. And it's not the way I would have done it either with Carlos Santana coming up and flip him around to his strong side. There were reasons to question John Schneider's move in that moment. But you know what? Like, while we're talking runners left in scoring position, Jordan Romano struggles.
Yep. So, yeah, I think that needs to be addressed this offseason.
Great comment, Wyatt.
We either need a rock solid setup man or, yeah, a improvement at closer and make Jordan the setup man.
I wanted to bring something up. I've been meaning to bring this up for weeks now, and I just keep forgetting. I want to just give a shout out to John Dick in Kelowna. He's one of our Patreon. He reached out personally on my personal Facebook account about my comedy album and just mentioned that he listened to it and really enjoyed it and thought it was very funny and just like... Yeah, so I just want to just say to John, thank you, buddy. Like, I know it seems weird for, I don't know. I put so much work into that frickin' comedy album, and to have positive things said about it from strangers is pretty cool. So, John, thank you.
Your wife has to say it's funny. Your mom and dad have to say they loved it. Even though we all know they hated it. But yeah, when a perfect stranger owes you nothing, says kind words, it's pretty nice. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Okay, by the way, stay together for the cat, or is it staying together?
Staying together for the cat.
Available everywhere you get your music.
Absolutely. Spotify, Apple.
There
it's
you go.
Being played on XM Satellite Radio right now, so yeah.
And
check it out if you want.
It's free to listen to, right? They don't have to buy your album. They just listen to it.
I mean,
it
would be nice if you buy it, but yeah, you can stream it. It's all good. I get paid for streams.
There you go. There you go. So listen to that next time you got some housework.
In the mood for some laughs, sure.
There you go. All right, final question of the day comes in from Marcus G on YouTube. And I can't tell you how much I loved this comment. So Marcus G says, keep up the great content, guys. We'll make a really tough off season just fly by. By the way, question for the hashtag mailbag. I think when looking at payroll calculus, we consider Ryu dead money. Counting against the projected payroll, but not delivering any value in 2023. Okay, so far, there's nothing spectacular about this comment. This is things we all knew. However, most teams have injury insurance. So likely the Toronto Blue Jays, will be recouping a large portion of his 2023 salary. Will that be plowed back into the team, in brackets, which it should be since the team isn't close to the luxury tax, or conveniently pocketed by ownership since fans won't know the difference and will likely forget about it. Laugh, cry, emoji. So I love this comment for a few reasons. Anytime I have to do research, I'm usually annoyed. I had to do research for this, but the research was interesting. I did find some real stuff here about insurance policies and how those work. Turns out Marcus is 100% correct. I don't have confirmation on whether the Blue Jays specifically have insurance specifically on the Ryu contract. I can't confirm that. It is likely. And from what I've found online, it is probable the Blue Jays do have insurance on this Ryu contract. So I looked into it. Here's this article from the Washington Post. This is published from 2016, and this is related to Steven Strasburg, specifically with the Washington Nationals, but the details here within do apply to this situation. So basically, it is up to clubs privately to insure contracts of their players. What does an insurance policy cost? Looks like pitchers do cost more. If I can just find this here. The rough estimate for a positional player was, I believe...
4%, right?
Yeah, I thought it was 2. Now I've lost track. It's 3% for the contract of a position player and 7% for a pitcher. So the other thing to consider is a player needs to usually miss around 60 days in order to cash in on an insurance policy. And even then, the club would generally only get back between 60 and 80% of that player's salary. So
let's break that down then. Because
let's break that down because... Go ahead.
There's almost no way. There's almost no way Hinjin. Exactly. Well, there's almost no way Hinjin Ryu was not insured. He had injury problems in the past. He struggled staying on the field with the Dodgers despite dominating. His first season with the Blue Jays, Cy Young votes. He finished third in 2020 in Cy Young votes. Like, the guy can pitch. But he has had arm injuries in the past, so there's almost 0% chance.
And he was like 33 when the Blue Jays signed him. So
this is a prime candidate to insure.
Exactly.
So $20 million, let's say it's even just 60%. But I bet you for Tommy John, he misses the full season. And on top of that, I bet they get the full 80%. But let's say it is.
Let's play it safe. 60. Let's go 60%.
That's $12 million.
At 7% for a policy cost, that's about $1.5 million on a $20 million contract. Although they probably would have had to do it for the entire amount of $80 million. So what's 80 times 0.07 gets us $5.6 million to insure the entire $80 million contract. They probably did that. So would they recoup $12 million next year? Probably. Have they already probably recouped $12 million for this year? Probably.
Probably. Good point.
Right? So that's actually $24 million. Again, on the conservative side, this is with a 60% payout estimate, right? So we're looking at...
They're paying for Yusei Kikuchi with Ryu's insurance money.
Basically, yeah. I mean, that's a great way to look at it. So here's another good point that Marcus made is that... Injury dollars do count towards a team's total
payroll.
Cap hit, if you will, yep. Right? The number that builds towards the luxury tax. So the $20 million last year was included in our number. The $20 million this year is included in our number. So when the typical sports fan looks into what is the Blue Jays payroll for 2023, they're going to see... What, $150 million, roughly, mm-hmm. Right? But that's not the net cost of what ownership is putting into it. So this is a really good point, I think, that there's going to be an extra $20 million, let's just say, between last year's insurance policy and this year's insurance policy that should be spent. There's no reason
it shouldn't. I was just going to say, which if you're going to do the math on that and the Blue Jays payroll sat at 183 this year, they should freaking hit 200 next year and that won't even be an actual increase.
It won't be. And here's the other thing too, is this is the final year of the Ryu contract, 2023. Mm-hmm. He's a free agent after this. So there's no reason if we expect him to miss the entire season, which again, coming off of Tommy John for the second time, being older, likely,
yeah,
he's going to miss a good chunk of time.
I mean, it looks like he might line up to return in September, but even then, I wouldn't want to see it.
Right? Okay. So, yeah, for whatever that's worth. This, to me, I think is a real good reason to go out and sign another 3 or 4 year deal for a good to above good starting pitcher, right? There is the money available.
Hear, Adam.
No, hear, Marcus. Marcus, this is a great comment.
Yeah,
absolutely. A factor I hadn't really considered. Not thrilled I had to do research with my morning coffee this morning, but hey, sometimes you learn something, and this is one of those days. So appreciate the intelligent comment from Marcus. And it makes a really great point that this team should absolutely at least be spending $20 million per year in free agency this offseason.
I would agree.
So there you go.
It's so funny how the inner workings behind the scenes we forget about, you know? Like insurance, of course these frickin' guys are insured. Like, of course they are.
But. Billionaires protecting their billions, man.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that is mailbag for today.
Thank you so very much for all the interaction, everybody. It was a great mailbag. You guys always are very excellent with your questions. You can always reach out to us, DM on Discord, comment right on YouTube. We comb through everything at Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram, Discord. Link is in the show notes and always free. And of course, if you are this deep into the video and have yet to subscribe, it means a lot if you do. And on top of that, hit that like button. We appreciate it. All the best, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack. With a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.